Hello, everyone. Welcome to Pep Talk, Pepperdine University's podcast dedicated to sparking conversations of personal and global significance, featuring world-renowned professors, faculty, and students from across the university. In this Pep Talk series, we will be discussing relationships. Whether you are single or married, a parent or a grandparent, a professional or an executive, relationships are an essential part of our lives. Join us as we explore how to build relationships and navigate their challenges in today's world. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Pep Learn podcast on relationships with the Boone Center. My name is Alexa, and this is Kobe.
Hey, everybody. Good to be back.
Good to be back. We are the hosts for today. And with us today on the podcast is Kelly Hare, the executive director for the Boone Center for the Family. Kelly, thank you for joining us.
Thanks, Alexa and Kobe. It's good to be here with you guys.
Awesome. Well, today we're going to chat about families. I know we've chatted about the church. We've chatted about dating, we've chatted about marriage, but I think it's really important to bring up this topic today. From my perspective, having a family is on my mind, but it's definitely not in the near future. But I think it's still important to, you know, discuss and expectations and the current state of parenting today.
Totally. I think about like in my own personal life, it's like we're kind of at this stage where most of my friends were just all kind of single and unattached and doing our thing. And then I have like one friend who has three kids, right? He just had his third kid, him and his wife. And their life seems so drastically different than my life. And yet we're the same age. In a lot of ways, we're in the same stage in life. And so I think, where would be interesting to start for me is just think a lot of young adults, when we just look at the statistics of things right now, are not having kids, right? We're having kids at a lower rate than almost ever. And you can kind of see on the face of it why that would be, right? It's more independence, it's less responsibility,
it's travel
and career. And we can think about that down the line, right? When I'm past 30 and I've kind of established myself and I've gotten to go and see the world and whatever. And so I think we're already starting with the Boone Center, from a probably a vastly different premise than what a lot of the world would assume. Right, that having a family is actually something that actually can be an amazing, empowering, worthwhile thing, even if you're giving up some of these superficial things of independence and whatnot. And so, Kelly, I would just love to hear from you. First of all, if you could make the case for the family, if you're a young adult listener out there and you're thinking, man, I just kind of want to do my thing and be independent and flit across the world, and no one's ever made the case for you of here's why actually thinking about possibly having a family is worth it. Kelly, what would that case be?
Okay, that's a good question, Kobe. And let me acknowledge, I am a parent and am in many ways in the thick of it with three small kids at home, age 2, 4, and 5. All three were born within 3 years and 3 days of each other in that span. So I am very much in the parenting world and can say, yes, it's hard, but moreover, it is so worth it. There's nothing that's more challenging, but that's more rewarding to be a part of creating life, seeing a new person being born, welcomed into the world, and being entrusted by God to raise this human being who's real and matters and has so much worth and value. That raising children, having a family, is so worth it. And, you know, you think of a meal, to use an analogy, you know, some meals take a lot of effort and energy, but the taste and what you're eating is so rich and satisfying compared to something that's really simple, that's not difficult or hard to make. And so I think in family, it's effortful and it's difficult, but it's so worthwhile and rich and satisfying. And parenting involves so much sacrifice, but it's sacrifice for kids who are worth it and matter.
What would you say as we're thinking about, okay, obviously there are going to be some inherent challenges if you're moving forward with having a family. If you think about the state of parenting today, what would you say some of the unique challenges or the unique positives are that people, who are just beginning, maybe like you, right? Who are in the process of starting families or thinking about moving in that direction, that they might expect to encounter, whether it's with you know, differences in culture or social media, online stuff. What's kind of the state of parenting today, maybe as opposed to previous generations?
Yes, good question. Parenting is challenging today. And I remember a couple of years ago, this realization, just, or this kind of wondering, I should say, kept going around in my head of, why is it so hard? Like, why is parenting so hard? This experience seems way more challenging than it was. And I struggled to put a finger on it. And then I read a book called Family Unfriendly by Tim Carney. And it really just shed light on naming how things are different today in a way that they are more difficult. And in fact, a U.S. Surgeon General report from last year, 2024, said that 41% of parents today say that most days, so 41%, it's a pretty high number, are so stressed they cannot function. And 48%, so basically half, say that most days their stress is completely overwhelming. And these figures are roughly twice that of people who are not parents. And so parents are truly experiencing a lot of stress. And so we've got to ask, what is going on?
Yeah.
What is creating this surplus of stress? And when we think about what creates stress is when demands exceed the capacity. So if you have high capacity, you can handle high demands. But if you have a lower capacity, you can't handle as many demands. And so there's kind of this ratio or proportion between capacity and demand. And when that ratio gets skewed and you have more demand than capacity, you've got trouble. And I would say today there's changes both in that our capacities are shrinking because our support networks are thinner and more fragile and have greater holes than they used to. That more and more people, as our society is so mobile, are more and more people are living away from family or and are moving around more frequently. And so their built-in communities and family support is not as strong than it used to be before people moved around as much or lived near family. So that's just one part of the equation. And then you add, you think about the demands of parenting today. Now we have social media. And this has dramatically changed our world, that all of a sudden we have much higher expectations for what I'm supposed to do as a parent. We see pictures of other kids' birthday parties, what other people's homes look like and how everything is matching and perfect. And there creates this burden, this sense of, oh, I've got to make my family look like this.
Yeah. And that's not even to mention the like influencer families, right?
Right.
Who've just got this like perfect, we're on the beach with our kid, like.
And social media represents a significant challenge to moderate and manage with your children of saying, okay, now I have to, here's this can be very destructive technology and my kids are asking for it. And so I've got to deal with putting limits and boundaries around it and the fear of what if they see something that's going to be negatively impactful to them. So social media is just one piece that's increased the demand. Then you have increased financial pressure. There's the housing crisis. The cost of food is increased. So what happens with the increase of money pressure is more people, you have more families who have two working parents. And so you have less time margin and you're trying to keep up with all the demands of children. There's this dynamic of, oh my gosh, college costs so much money. And so now I'm really caring and stressed about that my child can be this amazing athlete so that they can get good scholarships. So now when I think about my kids doing sports, I have to pay money, take time and money in order for them to be successful in sports. Tim Carney in the book Family Unfriendly gives this amazing illustration. For me, this was just it of like, ha, this is one thread that explains why things are more difficult today. You think about what it used to be for a kid to play soccer. They went down the street and played with a group of friends. Now, for a kid to play soccer is for a parent to have an organized schedule of a time and a place where the kid has to be with a certain uniform that's washed and ready to go and paying money to be on this club sport. So all of a sudden, the increase of time and money for that one piece of what's expected, for what's involved for a kid to play soccer is dramatically different. And oh, by the way, when we pressure kids to be in one sport again and again and again and perfect that, it's more likely that they're going to get injuries out of that because their body's being used in excess in this one way and area. So then we've got injuries that kids are experiencing when they used to not. So there are so many dynamics that are folding back on each other and dynamic processes around parenting being much more difficult in terms of time, money, lack of support, and higher expectations and demands.
And I hear kind of a connecting thread there of a sort of loss of local community in the modern world, right? That it would have used to have been that you've got this community around you, you're living near family, your kids are playing soccer on the street with the kids who live next door.
Right.
Whereas now it's like we're actually putting in more effort and spending money and driving further and for actually a return on investment that's worse in some ways, but we're all kind of caught up in it because we don't have local communities anymore. And so there's nothing we can do.
Right. And kids feel the pressure of, oh my goodness, I have to perform well doing this. And so now the parents got the challenge of my child's mental health struggles or different difficulties with anxiety and depression. So there's lots of layers to it. And let me say this. And, you know, I think what's helpful is when we name these dynamics, we're empowered to do something about them.
Yeah, totally.
And we can make decisions in light of them and saying like, okay, maybe I'm really going to consider before I enroll my child in a sport. Like, what is this going to do to the family dynamic? Is this actually best? Let me slow down. What does my kid's birthday party really need to look like? Does it need to look like Pinterest perfect? Uh-huh. Or can we bake some cupcakes and show up at the local park and invite some kids? And that was a great birthday party. And not to take on the stress. I literally remember standing next to a mom and the mom was talking about her kid's birthday party and I was helping kind of name the stresses of, you know, we put these stresses on ourselves. It has to look like this. And she's like, and I've got to have these drinks. And we got to have this. And I'm like, you could just have bottled water. You know, you could just bring water to the park. And she's like, I could just have water. And it's like, yes. Like what has happened in our world that we don't feel like water is okay for a kid's birthday party and that we have to do more than that.
Yeah. That's just taking me back to like being a kid in swimming or all the soccer teams, what like club basketball for you?
Yeah. I mean, it got into club basketball, but I feel like I grew up at an interesting time where it was sort of in a transition phase too, where it was like, I had club basketball and all of that. And so much on the weekends, but I also just had, you know, we were all still like playing at the local playground also in that day. Right. That's sort of the millennial Gen X.
We didn't have the iPads growing up.
Yeah. I remember my first iPod Touch. Right. I didn't. Yes. There was a day when those things didn't exist in my memory.
I just don't want to be the iPad parent at church with like the headphones because it's the kids and all the things. I guess, you know, talking about this, what does a healthy family dynamic look like?
Yeah. So, there's something I've learned called the life model in the last couple of years. And I feel like it's been really orienting to what a parent's role and job is as a child is growing up. And so I'm going to share kind of some of the stages and the big ideas of the stages. And me, this has been really orienting towards what is going on. Well, you know, what is the role of a parent? What is the job? What are we trying to do here? So recognizing from age 0 to 3, so infant to age 3, the infant's job task is to learn to receive. And so the parent is giving love and care and nurture and attuned responsiveness to when the baby cries, being responsive to meet the baby's basic physical needs. And the baby is learning to receive love, to take in warm cuddles and an embrace and care. So really basic. Okay.
Yeah.
So children, the next days, okay, a child age 4 to 12-ish, they are focused on learning to take care of themselves, to learn to ask for help, to get their needs met. And so when my child is really me focused and literally says, me first, me first, me first, you know, when cookies come to the table or something like this, it's like, okay, yes, because you are in a stage when you are focused on trying to meet your needs. So that's a little orienting of like, all right, this is what's going on. Not that they don't need to learn to grow past that, but recognizing, okay, so parenting right now for this younger kid is about helping to empower them to get dressed by themselves, to learn to take care of themselves.
It makes me feel a little bit better about my young self that I watch on home videos when I'm like, man, I was such a selfish kid. And it's like, well, actually, maybe
yeah,
I was just
you're learning to take care yeah. of yourself. And yeah. that there's a selfishness inherent to that. As a kid gets older, teenage years, they're learning to take care of another person, extending mutual friendship, mutual care. Mm-hmm. How can I both keep myself and you mm-hmm. in mind and yeah. think of your needs and your interests at the same time? Mm-hmm. Mutual care. And this is what's happening, you know, in marriage before kids is mutual care between spouses. And then yeah. at the beginning of parenthood, all of a sudden, a parent is in a position to sacrifice and give sacrificial care to their child and to not only care for their spouse, but offer sacrificial care for their child. And just, again, as a parent, recognizing like, okay, this is the dynamic. This is where I am in life, that this is a time for sacrifice and that there's a richness to that of giving and caring for others that's satisfying more than just being focused on me first. Yeah. I want to get the next thing for myself, but offering sacrificial care. And then last stage, elder stage, as a parent's children are old and have flown the nest of home, the parent gets to focus more on community care and helping to meet the needs of the community, having margin and care for others outside of their immediate family. Mm. So I've found this really helpful in just orienting to what's going on for each person in the family, kind of what stage they are in, and to try to help them accomplish those tasks. And there's a lot more you can read about the life model. If you look up the book.
Yeah, that is really good. And I think that is kind of a helpful model of wherever you're at, you kind of have this larger concept of this is what we're aiming at.
Yeah, this is what's going on.
Would you say when we think about, you know, from a biblical point of view, is there anything in particular about the biblical concept of the family that we're aiming towards? Are there things that Christian families that we're seeking to do or seeking to provide that might be different from other people out there in the world who don't hold that same worldview?
Yeah. Yeah. I think many Christian parents desire to pass their Christian faith to their kids, to share about the joy of the Lord, the joy of their relationship with God and how he brings peace and hope and meaning and purpose to life. And parents are longing for their kids to have that faith too. And in today's world that our culture has changed, I think it's very different from when even I was growing up, that is a different task today to pass faith. That there's the Christian faith represents a different worldview or way of understanding the good, the true, the beautiful than the way the world does today. And so that's a greater challenge and task.
I think too, something that I wrestle with just thinking about having a family in the future, because the world is so interconnected and there's social media, homeschooling like sounds like if I could afford it and I've had the time, that's something I would probably prefer. But I think that's a big fear. It's like, how can I teach my kids how to interact in the world and still, you know, be in the world, but also protect them.
Yes.
You know, like that's something I really struggle with personally. And I'm scared. So I wonder, like, how do you handle that? I know your kids are younger, but do you get scared with the social media or like the rest of the world or?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I do think about social media. The oldest is 5. So we've got a little bit of time here, but yeah, I think my focus is in other places, but I know that it's going to be an area where we'll really have to set significant limits and try to find community of people who have similar values.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think that community piece is key too, because it's one thing to have in your family, hey, this is our way of doing things. But if every other kid that your kids are meeting at school, right, is doing things in a way that's completely different, then in some ways you're sort of, you're fighting an uphill battle, I would say too.
I feel like more and more parents are aware of the dangers of social media. And I think, I actually think in 5 years from now, it's going to be easier to find communities of families who have more like-minded rules and limitations on social media than it is right now. I think people are understanding like this is really, can be really harmful for kids. Mm.
As we move towards wrapping up here, I would just kind of love to give you the mic back for another minute or two. To kind of make the case for, if you have a listener out here, and you talked about this for a second earlier in the podcast, but to make the case for, is having a family really worth it, right? We talked about all the challenges, especially in this day, right, with the challenges of online and social media and loss of local communities and these sorts of things. And parents are stressed at almost double a rate that anyone else is stressed. So this sounds like a lot of trouble, right? A lot of trouble that I'm signing myself up for if I'm moving towards having a family. And so I would just, I would love for you to be able to make the case for, sure, there's a lot of trouble, but it's worth it. Why is it worth it?
I can't even begin to name all of the moments with my children that are so special and so that I just so cherish because they're our children, my husband, our children, and we love them, and watching them grow and watching them become older people and have greater capacities. Just this past weekend, our 2.5-year-old, like I can see it happening before my eyes. Like he's starting to understand feelings. And my daughter, she had fallen down. She was crying. And he just went over there, the 2.5-year-old, got in her face and was like, "Are you okay, Hannah?" And he said it 4 times. Like he was just insistent to get a response from her. And then she was like, she said, "Okay." And then he was off and it was totally fine. Like he just needed to know she was okay.
Wow.
And that is just one little moment.
Yeah.
And then there are just so many moments of how precious and full of life they are. And again, getting to walk alongside them as they become older and more developed as people and to shape them, Lord willing, to know God, like that is just an incredible honor and blessing. Mm-hmm. And there's just nothing more valuable that I can imagine giving my time and blood, sweat, and tears to
priceless.
Than that. Like those sweet moments. And when they give each other a hug in the morning, like full open embrace, like I'm thinking of Hannah and Andrew again here with their arms open and just full hug to each other. It's precious.
Yeah.
And it's so satisfying. And often my husband and I will look at each other. It's so worth it. Like in those moments, knowing, you know, there's been times that have been really challenging. And this is what God calls us to be fruitful and multiply, to sacrifice for the next generation. Mm. Mm. And so there's, you know, the goodness and the rightness of that just resonates inside, even though it's difficult. It's very, very, very satisfying.
So good.
Well, thank you both so much today for chatting about family and children. We look forward to the next episode of the Pep Learn podcast on relationships. Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Good to be here with you.